Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everybody, Superfan Giovanni here, back for the second half of the episode. In this half of the show, Norm and Adam discuss Norm's book, take listener phone calls, and Adam shares his theory on how to reboot The Sopranos. Hint, it has Ted McGinley. Let's all take a listen.
All right, so Norm Macdonald, the book, based on a true story, a memoir, very good. I read it last night. Becomes surreal at times, but very good. And available now on Amazon. You know what to do. Click through our site and bookmark us. So, Norm.
What would you think of this?
You were...
I'm going to do a Netflix special.
You are?
Yeah, I don't like doing specials, but...
Oh, wait, I didn't... The one thought I just wanted to finish is where I had Drew Carey at the top with the most earning...
Am I at the bottom?
Well, we got a friend named Josh Gardner, who's maybe a little below you.
He'd be way, come on. He'd be way below me.
Way below you. Yeah, he would.
He might be more talented than me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty close.
But everyone does that thing where everyone agrees Norm is a genius and a comedic genius. And so the question is can we get you out? Can we get you behind the...
I've tried these things, you know. I'm not a great collaborator. But I'll tell you this. What would you do in this situation? Because I think it would be much different than what I did. Your agent says, by the way, you know, we did the Netflix special. We got the deal. It's in Boston at the Wilbur Theater.
I'm going to be at the Wilbur Theater coming up on October 8th.
October 8th at the Wilbur Theater. Don't miss Adam, right?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm doing it at the Wilbur Theater, my Netflix special. So my manager told me the other day, he's like, you know, we got the deal, but you got to pay for your own hotel room. So I'm like, well, that's kind of odd. You know, I got to pay for my own hotel room. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I got to tell you, though, me and a couple of guys are going from, we got our own deal. We got the hotel room paid for.
Your manager told you this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
So what would you do if your manager told you such a thing?
Well, I can tell you this. Me and Jimmy had a manager.
Yeah. Oh, that was Baby Doll.
No, we still have Baby Doll. This is Howard from your native land of Canada.
Of course, Howard, yeah.
And I remember once, and Gary, oh, yeah, let's not forget Dawson and Joy Behar. But I remember once the Vegas has the... whatever hotel with the four seasons above it.
Oh, yeah.
With the four floors above it are the four seasons, and then down below is the Ricketts Hotel or whatever it is.
No, that's the best hotel in Vegas.
Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay is the first 22 floors, and then the top.
Are the incredible ones.
And we were standing in the lobby, and they invited Jimmy and I out to Vegas to host or present at some sort of sports award show or something in 2000 or something. And we were all in the lobby, like, getting on to the elevator. And he said, we were like, what floor are you on? Yeah. I'm like, I'm on 11. Jimmy's on 9. He's like, I'm on 27. And we said, what? And he went, I got myself booked into the Four Seasons, and he started laughing, and he pushed a button, and I just thought, I don't know, this feels like a tactical error to me, because he's not even supposed to be here, but he'd managed
to... And he's laughing? But didn't pay for it?
No, he managed to work it out with the producers of the show that he stayed in the Four Seasons, but that the talent, who he represented, who theoretically he's supposed to be looking out for... was going to stay at the Ricketts Hotel.
He laughed in your face.
Well, it was a...
he didn't know what he was doing.
It was a little more of
proud.
That kind of thing where you got the... you got the large fries when you only ordered the regular, and your buddy got no fries.
And it was a little, the kind of thing that you and Jimmy were just in shock and didn't react to?
I remember just thinking, why did he tell us that so proudly? Why did he boast about that? a manager would go, I got you guys into the Four Seasons, and I'm staying.
But you didn't get angry or anything at him. You just
You
just said, oh, when I get to Jimmy's room, we'll laugh about it.
I did what I do with everything, Norm. I thought to myself, noted.
Yeah, right.
I'll just go ahead and put that in the hopper.
I understand. And we'll see if we revisit it again at some other point. I have a very complicated relationship with Howard Lapidus.
I'll bet.
It's so strange. But anyways, I don't know if I want I'll say it. This is what happened.
All right.
I had to fire him at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does.
He went crazy when I fired him. And he was like pacing around the room going, I knew it, like paranoid and stuff. It was unnerving for me because it took me so long to muster up the courage to even fire him. You know?
Right.
Anyways, I meet him years later, and he's talking to me and this other person. He goes, you know, I've been fired by a lot of people, but Norm's the only guy that I fired. I shouldn't be telling this, but I said, so I go, yeah. Like, because, I don't know, that's...
Why not?
If you want to remember it that way, that's better for me. I don't have to feel guilty.
Right.
But now I just told it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
I think he did... Maybe he did fire me.
I'm still friends with him. I don't care, but he fired me.
He fired me.
All right. Do you have my section on The View from In 50 Years Will All Be Chicks? My book, not Pulitzer Prize nominated, by the way.
I know I'm a guy, so I'm supposed to hate The View, but I don't hate The View because I have a dick. I hate The View because I have a brain. The View is going on what feels like its 35th season. It has numerous Emmy nominations and even an Emmy win, and it's a disjointed, scattered piece of shit that's hosted by some of the least compelling, most untalented people that have graced a television set. If this show consisted of five guys sitting around talking over each other with the occasional hackneyed joke, awkwardly shoehorned into the meaningless conversation, it would have been yanked off the air years ago. You see, at 10 in the morning, all the smart people are at work. That leaves The View's audience. Barbara Walters is about as interesting and funny as the one old teacher you had in junior high. I know everyone treats her like some kind of national treasure, but she's clearly past her prime. And no one at that show would dare utter a word. It's about the same relationship Saddam Hussein shares with his co-workers. When she finally decides to hang up her dentures and call it a career, there will be a silent celebration akin to what the guards did after the Wicked Witch got the bucket of water tossed on her. On her last show, the lavalier mics will be recording a lot of, "We'll miss you, we'll stay in touch, we don't know how we'll carry on without you." But the internal monologues will skew a little more toward, "Have fun on the Greyhound bus to hell, bitch." Sherry Shepherd is dumb. She's read one book and it's the Bible. She's not ha-ha funny. She's more, "We need a fat chick who's not funny funny." Elizabeth Hasselbeck gets a pass. She's already being punished on a daily basis. Could you imagine if your lot in life was to be wedged between Barbara Walters and Sherry Shepherd? She's the lunch meat between a stale piece of sourdough and the dumbest slab of pumpernickel to ever hit the day-old bin at the bakery. Whoopi Goldberg. What happened to the unstoppable force of comedy that had us doubled over with spun gold such as Burglar, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and Eddie? An Emmy for The View and an Oscar for Ghost. She deserves those as much as Elvis deserved his black belt in Taekwondo. Joy Behar. She's the funny one. That's like saying Marwan al-Shehhi was the funniest of the 9/11 hijackers.
I made my opinion.
Holy Lord.
I think I made
myself pretty
clear on my feelings of the gals from The View.
I wonder if they know of that or anyone from The View.
I always assume because I have some they're thick.
Usually people they Google themselves and all that, or somebody tells them, or... Good Lord.
Yeah. Was any of that inaccurate?
No. It was awesome. And it's gotten even worse since because they have that strange girl from The Cosby Show.
Well, maybe you should read my book,
Raven. Oh, I love that.
Took the time to read yours.
God damn, that was great.
I'll get you a copy before you head out.
Wait, you've written two books, though.
I've written four books.
Four books?
Yeah.
God,
I shit them out quick.
But you can.
So what is your schedule?
Give me your schedule. You know, because a book should be as if it was spoken.
I agree.
So that was like perfect. My schedule. Oh yes, my daily schedule.
Yes.
So I wake up
around what time?
10 or 11.
Okay.
You know, something like that. And, you know, I have to eat.
Sure. What do you have?
Count Chocula. What is that funny? It's just cereal. It's one of the most famous cereals in the world.
Right. For people under 7.
Wait, what? What do you eat? Oh, you eat like granola.
What do you eat? Really? Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Okay. Count Chocula. Keep going.
I hate Frankenberry. It was one of the most disappointing.
Nah, it's huge.
And Boo Berries. I'm like, Jesus.
Worse than New Coke.
Is this the, it's like New Coke. So, do you know the conspiracy theory about New Coke?
No.
It's fascinating, okay? I'll do it very quickly. So, this is the theory that I believe happened. And I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I believe in this one. So, because I loved Coke. So, Coke, it vanishes. They change it to New Coke, and it tastes horrible. You know, I go, what the fuck is this? It doesn't taste anything like Coke. It tastes like Pepsi.
Right.
So, and people that love Coke hate Pepsi. So, you drink that. So, that lasted 6 months, maybe longer. And then they brought back Coke Classic, right? Mm-hmm. So now they have Coke Classic and New Coke. And you drink the Coke Classic, it tastes so much better than the New Coke that you don't remember what the old Coke tasted like because it took 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think they did in that 6 months?
Mm.
They replaced cane sugar with corn syrup.
Brilliant.
And then only when I tasted...
Interesting.
It's only my theory.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
When I tasted the new, the Mexican Coke, that's when I came up with the theory. I go, wait, that's the drink.
Because you can tell the difference.
But yeah. That's the drink I drank as a kid. As soon as I drank that Mexican Coke, I was like, those motherfuckers.
So that's a very interesting theory. I'm down with it.
You like that one?
Yeah, everyone says you can go to Mexico and get the cane sugar run. So, all right, I saw,
you know, speaking of conspiracy theorists, I saw the Real Time with Bill Maher.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, you don't never been invited on that show?
I've done it once, I think. Yes.
It must be fun to just, I've never done it, but when you have to sit there while he does the new rules, he does a bunch of string of jokes.
Right, you have to laugh.
You have to laugh.
Right.
But anyways, I saw on there, you know, they'll put, so if I'm on the show, maybe they put Norm Macdonald comedian or Norm Macdonald SNL. You can choose what you want the Chiron to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard Belzer was on. I was like, Richard Belzer, conspiracy theorist. So I'm like, what? You don't believe in anything?
Right.
Like, you think everything's a theory? And
I
so
think...
he just wrote a book about, as if anybody wants to read about Kennedy anymore.
I think him and Ed Asner and other guys like that, it should just read, instead of like activist or conspiracy theorist, it should just go, hates the United States. Because that brings it into focus a little more to me. Because it's not the conspiracy part, it's that they just fucking hate the United States.
Right. Well, if you believe 9/11 is an inside job.
Yes, and Ed Asner does.
What the fuck are you still doing in the United States? I would agree with you. You're in the worst fucking place ever.
All the conspiracy theories are never flattering to the United States.
That's true, yeah, you're right.
Ever. It's not like,
we didn't land on the moon.
Yeah, yeah. It's the conspiracy theory is never like, oh, the Mille massacre never happened. It's not that.
Right, right.
It's, oh, no, they say 138 villagers. There were at least 1,000. Like, that's the...
Yeah, right,
there's
right.
never a flattering...
You're right.
There's no conspiracy theory of any country, but especially the United States, that ends up being anything close to flattering to the government or the United States.
I never thought of that. And also, when you say that, I don't know if it exists in other countries.
No, I agree. Like in Thailand.
Yeah.
Who stole that bamboo? No, I don't know. I don't think they do in like Thailand. But when you start really breaking down the Belzers and the Asners, you just sort of realize the theme is we hate the United States, not that all this stuff happened and we're being naive.
Right.
But then they always say,
"By God, they United States was so good to them." In your chart.
You know, super rich with marginal talent. Yeah.
Richard Belzer?
I'd say doing pretty good.
I mean, Dennis always told me, oh, man, he was the best, you know, Richard Belzer. But, you know, there's videotape I can see. from back then, you know.
But maybe timing thing. Maybe. Yeah, I agree. So who? So then now we're eating Count Chocula.
Oh yeah. So I eat some Count Chocula, which I don't know why that's so ridiculous. And then I watch the.
Well, can I say this
TV,
about Count Chocula or any cereals of that ilk? Uh-huh. I feel like there's a window.
Yeah.
The window is age 4 to age 11.
What?
Hold on. And then it opens up again at 81. You see what I'm saying? But the problem is you're kind of in between right now. Because so you see an old guy eating Fruit Loops or Count Chocula. It's kind of cute. Fruit Loops. You know what I'm saying? And a young kid, it's excusable.
Well, what do you think most people eat for breakfast?
Adults?
Yeah, what do you think they eat?
Eggs. You know, well, other forms
eggs,
of hot
that's
cereal.
What you eat when you're a child. You eat eggs when you're a child.
Right. But I think some people might have like a protein shake or smoothie or something. Yeah. I'm talking about adults.
You changed it from eggs.
Well, no, I'm with
you
eggs.
You pivoted.
No, I didn't mean to pivot off the egg thing. So the, all right. So Count Chocula.
Whatever I eat, it doesn't matter.
All right, it's Count Chocula. You know? Now it's noon.
It's something in my belly. Yeah. And then right. It's noon.
I rounded
takes me
up.
Like 5 minutes to eat.
Okay.
I eat at, you know, I just eat like right. standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch TV.
What do you watch?
Whatever's on.
View.
You know, you were talking about who's at home, you know, during these shows.
Yeah.
I have noticed that more and more the judges on the judge shows are all black.
Interesting.
And the game show hosts are black during the day. Mm-hmm. Like they have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's hosted by a black guy.
Right.
The judge is
Steve Harvey. Right. Yeah, well, a lot of black judges.
A lot
yeah.
of black judges, yeah. And it didn't used to be that way. So
it's interesting. Yeah. So if you think there's a high unemployment rate amongst a certain group, that would be a good group to be represented on TV.
Yes. And it's nobody's fault.
No, you can't judge.
You can't blame anyone for being unemployed.
But it is interesting.
Yeah, so I watch some of that stuff, and then
oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Oh, Mike's from New Orleans.
Oh, Mike, yes.
Hold on a second. He's from New Orleans, and he's unemployed, so maybe we found the black guys watching the judge show. Mike?
How you doing?
Are you black?
Both of y'all. No, sir.
Well, what are you doing unemployed? Norm wants to know.
No.
I got you.
I never said that.
I heard what you said.
I used to work in the oil field, that's why.
Ah, okay, yeah. So, you got a question?
Oh, yeah. So you work in the oil fields, you make a whole bunch of money, and then you're off for a while.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm traveling, you know,
sure.
But it's time to go back to work. And so my question is, something that I would want to do is what I have an interest in is writing.
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't live in L.A. or New York or anything. I live in South Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't, you know, teach Jimmy Kimmel boxing or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
that's how I got my
don't have
in the show business. Yeah,
well, did you? You
know, what do you want to know? Do you have some jokes, Mike?
Are they jokes like monologue jokes?
No, I'm talking about write for a show or a comic or something like
that. Yeah, no,
well,
but
write a spec script. What's your favorite sitcom?
Oh, let's see. That's good.
No, don't write a spec script. you don't know any sitcoms. But do you think you could write monologue jokes for Jimmy Kimmel well or any?
Yes, and maybe movies too.
All
movies.
Right.
Okay.
We'll throw out a current.
But I will say, when I was at Saturday Night Live, I don't know how it works nowadays, but any jokes I would get sent, I would always read all of them. And sometimes it was a good joke. And you don't get much. You get like $50 a joke. But if you get a few on the air, all of a sudden you'll get hired. I don't know how it works now.
Yeah.
So that's all I know.
Yeah, that's kind of what my question is. How does it work now with social media? Someone like Adam might be inundated with that kind of stuff.
No, I don't get a lot of jokes. I wish I did. But
there are people that from social media have been hired from their tweets and stuff.
Sure, sure. So, I know that.
So, Mike, do that because I'm trying to get to what Norm eats for brunch.
Okay.
Sugar Smacks, I think. Yes.
Your fan club on Facebook says hi. and they want to know where's my ACE award for last year.
Oh, you got it. You got. Are you talking to Norm?
I'm talking to you.
All right.
Why would I have an ACE award?
I don't know. Hey,
oh, an ACE award. I thought
my award. Sorry.
Oh, what are you? Because yeah. there didn't there
Not
used
the
to
be the Cable ACE. Yeah, there used to be the Cable ACE award.
I know. When he said it, I was like, of course, the question's to you. Then when you said, are you talking to Norm? I said, maybe it's the Cable ACE award.
So, yeah. so now
so that's why you call it the ACE award.
Norm,
after,
I want to make a
after the old timey Cable ACE.
Yeah. Now they call me ACE. But
I know
how
I call the ACE.
But let me make you this
it's
pitch.
A double meaning. Too.
I always feel this.
Yeah.
I feel like learning to drive.
Yeah.
Would be not only freedom for you,
yeah.
but a metaphor for your life, a transition. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
I feel like
I mean, you got to say what the metaphor is.
Oh, and it's symbolically important to say, I, Norm MacDonald, own a California driver's license. I'm taking the wheel of my life. I'm taking control of my life.
Yes, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm enlarging my world.
Yeah. And I think that's a show. It would get 2 million views on YouTube if you and I just put
now,
some GoPros
in
a car.
What if I learned to drive, struck a pedestrian, mm-hmm. killed him? Well, then what?
It's even higher ratings.
Oh, my God. I don't mean during the show.
Oh, I see.
I mean later on.
Later
you read
on?
That in the paper.
How would I feel personally?
Yeah, you wouldn't care. You're psychotic.
I'd have to check the nationality of the pedestrian, obviously, and the sex, and naturally. But after that, I'd probably feel some remorse, depending on what I found.
Oh, my God. It's lawless in this room.
It is. All right. So now it's about noon.
And then you got to be careful about what you say, because you can say anything, and I don't think I can.
You can say anything.
I don't think I'm protected like
you. You're stand-up. You can do what you want. So what now, you have yourself some Count Chocula.
Yeah, then I was going to say I do my exercise for the day.
Mm-hmm. Which is what?
Putting. I have a putting green.
In your house?
No. I don't have a mansion. No, outside.
Oh, outside.
It's like a community.
Community putting green. Right.
And then I get very mad because...
Do you go to the market to buy Count Chocula?
I get it ordered. You know, I really should go because it's so close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it ordered in.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem with getting it ordered in is the tomatoes. My mother makes me tomato on... Now you're going to say my mother.
Please.
But my mother makes me tomato on rye.
And that's a sandwich?
Oh, it's so good. Like, it's not a sandwich because there's only one piece of toast.
Open-faced.
You take toast, then you put two pieces of tomato on, and then you put salt, and then you put pepper.
Mm.
Oh, my God. It's almost like a pizza.
Yeah.
But better.
Yeah, they have things called pizzas that they'll actually bring to your home for a nominal fee.
Listen, man, I like a pizza.
Okay.
So then I putt. Okay.
You
so
putt?
Now we're around.
That's your exercise.
And now we're around noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back
mm-hmm.
to my house, and then I watch more TV.
What do you watch now?
I just watch random stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not being honest. What I do is I watch YouTubes. I'm mm-hmm. addicted to YouTubes, as mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are probably. Because mm-hmm. you know how you watch a YouTube, and then there's a string of things on the side that look interesting.
Yeah.
So you hit that one, then you hit another one, and then it's midnight all of a sudden.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's a problem in America.
Yeah, well, the problem with the YouTube thing, it'll be like, the title say, like, desecration of synagogues worldwide,
right.
But it'll be a chick with a D cup bursting out of her blouse, and there'll be part of me that goes, I'd like to know more about her, but I'm not sure if I want to see the desecration of a synagogue. So I'm kind of torn. But I also
worry about, you know, because they say the NSA and that people look at you.
Mm-hmm.
My computer, because I don't look at porn or anything, but I YouTube a lot of Hitler, you know. And then there's one, there's some Hitler stuff where you have to hit another button.
An extra Hitler button.
Yeah, like it's so horrific, you know, like a Holocaust or something.
Yeah.
It's like you have to hit another one, say, I'm 18, mm-hmm. I can see this horror.
But
so
you don't look at porn.
No, I watched it for a while, and you know what happened? I got desensitized,
uh-huh.
as they say. Did you ever get desensitized?
You know, I'm careful to not desensitize myself to things that are would be called vices.
So you watch them in moderation.
Yeah, I'm sort of. I have a relationship with booze.
Yeah.
With cigarettes.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
With porn.
Cigarettes? You can control
two at night.
Wow, that's
amazing. But in the middle of the night. No, not during the daytime.
That's great.
Well, yeah, because I enjoy it.
Very few people could do that.
I know. No doctor ever believes me. But my thing is, like, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I realize if I wake up in the morning and light a cigarette, I have to quit.
Because you'll smoke all day?
It's just because it'll now be a problem need to quit smoking. But if you go home, you work all day.
I see, right.
You go home, you have a nice hot bowl of Count Chocula and play ball with the kids and everything and help them do their homework.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point at the end of the night when the kids go to bed and it's time to pour yourself a scotch, then you go out in the patio and enjoy a cigarette. You don't have to quit.
Well, wouldn't you go in your den? Oh, you don't want the smoke to be around your kids.
I was talking about beating off, but yeah.
Oh.
I beat off on the patio, is what I'm saying. It was a metaphor, remember?
So that's very good that you moderation, and then you never got desensitized, which is excellent, because I got insanely desensitized, and then I can't watch it anymore.
With the porn?
Yeah. Also, it's so misogynistic, you know.
Yeah.
The titles, like you were saying about desecration, the titles are always like dirty fucking whore likes to be fucked in the dirty ass. And you're like, whoa, that's not the film I just watched. Like, it didn't seem to be her idea at all.
I also find...
Then there's just a futon and a bright light, and you're like, how did they get her in here?
A little too much spit going on for my my taste.
Why is it? Yeah.
I don't know
people,
why.
And, you know, this new generation is crazy.
It's getting sad.
They're like choking.
Yeah, they're choking.
Spitting.
Yeah.
I thought this was supposed to be a feminist, like, time. Like, why would they want to be humiliated like that by men?
Well, whenever things go too far one way, they swing back hard the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now we have safe spaces and cage fighting going on simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
You're right.
It's my theory about it's grunge. It's all the stupid hair bands with all the mascara and the Aquanet sprayed on their head gave birth to Kurt Cobain in a tattered flannel shirt.
Right, right.
Because we swung too far this way, we needed to go back the other way.
That's how we
are as human beings.
Sure, sure. So what's going to follow, for instance, the feminism of comedy?
Hmm. Well, tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I think women have pretty well taken over comedy, haven't they?
Well, I think we enjoy celebrating women comedians probably more than we enjoy celebrating male comedians because it feels like progress.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So,
like Tina Fey is too big to fail. Like,
although I think of her as legitimately funny.
Yeah, she's funny, yeah.
But I also feel like...
But she brought in... She ushered in a generation of...
Not as funny?
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten in trouble in the past for talking about
this. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, because I was given a choice.
Oh, you were?
Who's funnier, men or women? So I just said men because I don't like when people do the I really couldn't say because I know a lot of funny guys.
But then they didn't put the question in.
Not really that way. It was more like Adam said women weren't funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I went on to say that Kathy Griffin and Sarah Silverman I know plenty of... I said, you know, Kathy Griffin and Sarah Silverman would have been funnier than any guy in my high school.
Right.
But they kind of left that part off.
Yeah.
So that's the way.
But
it
even
works.
Hitchens said it, right? He's supposed to be super smart.
There is a kind of biological mandate,
right?
Which is if David Spade's trying to get his dick wet, it's not incumbent on the 22-year-old blonde to make him laugh. We're going full circle here, Norm. But if he wants to bang the 22-year-old, he's got to make somebody laugh. Right?
So, yeah, so just biologically you're saying...
It helps.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a mandate.
So why would the women have such a mandate?
Yeah.
Unless it's just a professional...
Pardon the pun.
I'm going to become a comedian. You know, I really think that's a new thing.
I'm going to become a comedian even.
That's a new thing, I think.
Right.
That in the old days, it just people go, what? You want to do what? You know, they thought you were crazy.
Well, also, kind of in the old days, we would decide if you became a comedian by whether we laughed or not. You didn't get to just decide, Drew Carey.
But it is force of will, you know what I mean? Like, but, that's what accounts for your list, I think, is ambition and
my ranking of you not...
Wouldn't it be work ethic?
Well, there's work ethic, work ethic, certainly.
And that wouldn't that propel the mediocre to...
Yeah, if you're...
Not mediocre, but middling. I learned what mediocre meant.
But what I'm saying is you, who have a love of chocolate-flavored cereal and pudding... probably not the hamster wheel of show business. Well, I'm saying is you probably could have made a little more money in your career.
Oh, yes.
If you'd played by the rules.
Yeah.
And had a little more of a motor. Well, or even a driver's license to operate a motor vehicle.
When I've had a project, I've worked very hard. But, boy, I'm a bad collaborator, I'll tell you that. And when I look back...
You are a bad collaborator.
I should have just done that. You know, I should have just said...
Why are you a bad collaborator?
I don't... Because Because the way the industry works, in let's say a sitcom, and I never dreamed of being in a sitcom anyways, but you know, like the director will tell you to do it one way, and you go,
right.
I don't want to do it. Seems pretty hacky that way. This is what I had a director tell me once. He goes, trust me, do it my way. I've seen it work 1,000 times.
Right.
I'm like, that's the problem.
Right.
So I just pretend not to understand and just do it my way every time. And the guy goes, no, I thought you were going to do it the different way. I go, I did. He goes, no, do it my way. I go, I'll do it this time. And finally, he would get exhausted.
But don't you feel like you and I could collaborate on something?
Well, I was just thinking of that, actually, because I was looking at you, and I was like, well, if everybody thinks we're similar or whatever, we could play brothers.
Yeah.
Right? Because people think, but we're actually very different.
Yes.
Even though we're the same. So that would be like brothers.
But... Maybe we could collaborate on Adam teaches Norm to drive.
Just to start. Yeah, so people could see the chemistry.
I'm a good teacher, Norm.
No, I trust you.
And I think...
Okay, when do you want to do it?
We could get on the calendar for, you know, later this year.
Okay.
Come by your place. What would it take you? You finish off your Fruity Pebbles. You
come on.
You come down to the car. The car's loaded up with GoPros, and we just go around the block a few times.
Well, now, wait a second. Are the GoPros going to obstruct my view of...
No.
My blind spot?
I would never put you...
You know about the blind spot?
You have a blind spot?
Everybody does. You have to fucking look behind you. I don't even know why they have mirrors.
Oh, no. Listen, I do these race cars. You get strapped in like an astronaut. You use all mirrors. You can't even turn your head.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And I saw Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
And fucking Burt Reynolds is so cool, right? He's like, I don't care what's behind me. He fucking breaks off the fucking mirror.
Yeah.
Rearview mirror.
That wasn't Burt Reynolds.
I know. Who was it? How do you remember?
It was the Italian guy driving the Ferrari Daytona.
God damn it.
You can pull that shit away with some of the gal's spade is fucked. It's not going to work on me.
You're absolutely right.
He's driving a Daytona Spider, and he says, in Italy, what is behind us does not matter. He breaks the mirror off and throws it behind him.
I can't believe you know
Jesus,
that.
Norm. Who are you hanging around with? All right.
I'm a fraud.
Hold your... Yeah, you can figure it out, Gary. It's probably about 2/3 of the way into Cannonball Run. It's the guy driving the Ferrari Daytona, probably a 71 Daytona, and it's a spider convertible, and he's explaining that in Italy what's behind him.
He's the only guy that's not a star in the movie.
Yeah, so you wouldn't know his name.
I know.
But you would know.
I knew it wasn't Burt Reynolds. I didn't think you would know.
It was
a
valiant try, and it would have worked with almost anyone else on the planet, possibly even Burt Reynolds. But not this hombre.
I know. That was
all right,
crazy.
You answer your phone.
Wait, what is that? Not my phone. Oh, it is. It's in my pocket. Sorry, guys.
All right. Let me tell you about TrueCar. You should know TrueCar. Car tips. You might not know. Keeping those tires inflated, that'd be a good thing. Checking out, getting the junk out of the trunk, get a little better mileage. Make sure you know your way around the spare tire so you can change that. You don't have to be like Dr. Drew where you call AAA to come to your house to do it for you. Here's another tip you might not know. TrueCar helps you Get used cars with their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. Simpler buying experience, whether you're going new or used. See what other people pay. You lock in your price. You get that good deal. And you enjoy a faster, more satisfying. Because you're at ease. Because you understand you paid what you should have paid for the car. You didn't overpay for the car. I don't think people are looking for a free car. They're looking for a fair shake. And that's what you get at True Car. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you always go with True Car. Gary, do you have that scene from Cannonball Run?
We think we do.
Okay. Is he driving a Daytona?
I think so.
All right. Let's take a look.
And now, my friend, the first rule of Italian driving.
Convertible Daytona.
What's behind me is not important.
That's it.
He's somebody. Wait, that was at the Gumball Rally. Oh, no, that was the next show.
And I think that was a Kiss of the Spider-Woman guy.
And who was
died,
with him?
Who died way before his time.
This guy, you're talking about the guy. That's with the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Yes, he
all
became famous after
all
this.
All we know right now is that it's definitely not Burt Reynolds.
I know it wasn't Burt Reynolds.
That's all we know.
But I think you're right. He's like doing a cheap like Italian accent, and later he became like a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
And who was with him? Was
later he died way too soon. We had his name written down here, Gary, a second ago.
I was guessing. Joe Pantoliano went on, but I don't know.
No, this guy was a... became a hardcore famous actor. It was starting Kiss of the Spider Woman. I think that'll help. Raul Julia.
Raul Julia. Was him. Wow.
And he must have died at like 53 or something. Like he died a while ago, but it was early. It was young.
Jeez.
And sort of suddenly. And we'll figure out his thing.
Roseanne had a talk show once.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Pantoliano was the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's introducing him. She goes, you know this, I don't know, he has a whole bunch of credits. But she goes, you know this, our next guest, a great actor, you know him from this and this and this. Please welcome Joe Pantoliano. Joe Pantoliano comes out. Roseanne goes, I know him. She knew the guy.
Raul Julia died in 94, but I don't know how old. He was.
But
he was,
that wasn't
he was
that. That was a 54. Terrible, hacky 54. Performance, right? And then he became a fantastic, famous actor.
And then he unexpectedly died. Oh, Norm, before
if I had said Raul Julia rather than Burt Reynolds,
yeah, we wouldn't have gone down.
Then
this
you
path.
Wouldn't have. You would have gone no.
So you just watch YouTube.
I like YouTube a lot, I end up watching the same thing that I've already seen on YouTube because.
And you tweet a lot.
Yeah, sometimes I get obsessed a little bit with tweeting. This is what happened. Like one time, I called a game, you know. And then next
what kind of game?
Like a football game or something sports related. Because I would make predictions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd call a game from the viewpoint of me and my point spread and so forth. So then and the next time there was a game or something, I would look at my notifications and people would go, hey, I'm at my mother-in-law's, like, eating a tomato sandwich, you know, whatever. And I can't see the
open
game.
Open face.
You know, I'd love to see the game. You know, so this poor goddamn cuckold, you know, he couldn't watch the game.
Right.
So I'd say, well, I'll be a man for you, you son of a bitch, you hen-pecked bastard.
Right.
And I'll tell you what happened. You just have to sneak a peek
and
over
that's
there
where it started.
If your wife doesn't hit you with a cane or a... Or some sort of a sap bag, handbag, like Ruth Buzzy.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of purse-related assaults. Norm, I wouldn't be doing my job as a journalist.
Well, I will do it. I'm not lying.
And a podcarter, if somebody tweeted me a few months ago and said that Norm fired his agent because he was going to go play the Kennedy Center and open up for Adam Carolla
That was not true.
People were tweeting me that, and they thought, and they kept saying, are you angry? And I'd always go, no, because I like Norm, and I have no idea what he's talking about.
It wasn't true at all. This is what happened. And first of all, I didn't fire my agent for that reason. But... the journalist was there when I was talking to my agent. And what they did was, my agent phoned me and made it seem like, because it wasn't very much money. Mm-hmm. And my agent said, but it's the Kennedy Center, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a huge, prestigious event.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I took it, you know, people will see me. And then I looked it up on the computer, and there was a whole bunch of comedians, you know, like a whole week of comedians.
Right.
And I wasn't opening for you. I was going on one show, and then you were going on the next show.
Right.
So I said, well, this is a comedy festival or something.
Right.
And I'm not making any money. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I get
it. So it wasn't, I wasn't opening for you. You didn't have an opening act.
I don't, no, the same thing happens. They go, you're playing the prestigious Kennedy Center, and you're picturing up in the crowd, you're picturing like Hillary Clinton and Maya Angelou toasting you from up on stage.
So you'll be able to tell me what actually was.
Well, I didn't make the gig.
You didn't do the gig either.
No, but then what they tell you later is they go,
Why didn't you do the gig?
I had a race to do.
Oh, so you blew off the
gig,
too.
I blew it
too.
Off. I found out if Norm's not doing it, fuck that.
And then I look like I'm, insulting you.
That's why I don't listen to anybody.
It's awful.
But the point is I literally, yes, you find out it's a comedy bonanza.
And probably and like a tertiary room in the Kennedy Center, you know? I'm sure it's not the main room where they
I would have played
give
one of
the
those.
Mark Twain Award to Tina Fey.
No, it would be like Harry Belafonte's up there with a ribbon around his neck.
Exactly.
No, it'd be like I'm playing the pavilion behind the place next to the valet. Like
outdoor.
That's what I was assuming. Yeah.
Right.
How many does it hold? I don't know. How many folding chairs do we have? That would be the answer to the capacity. And the fire marshal wouldn't care because there was no walls.
Isn't that funny? You didn't even do the show.
No.
And then I look like I'm slandering you. I felt so bad about it when I read it. I'm like,
I didn't care.
It looks like I'm quitting because, you know, the idea of opening for. First of all, I would open for you.
I would open for me, too.
If it paid enough.
I
used to go in the South, and I would do, the guy in front of me would go, he'd be a big fat guy.
Right.
You know? He'd destroy.
Right.
I'd go on. They would yell at me and hate me. So the second night, every time the owner would go, how about you and the fat guy switch? I'd go, same money? You go, yeah, fine, switch. It makes a perfect sense.
Listen,
I don't care at all.
I don't think what people...
I love opening.
People don't really realize, and I think I speak for Norm here, whether it's if the Kennedy Center's paying $10,000 and, you know, Chief Wampum's casino is in Northern California paying $15,000, we'll just go there.
Yes, of course.
And get the paycheck.
Yes, and at our age, are we really suddenly going to, some prestige is going to be poured
now,
on us? You know?
No.
We'll always be bums.
Yes, we're the bums of comedy. But
that would be a good one.
When we unite.
The bums of comedy.
Together in the front
Why
seat
don't
of a
we
camera,
do that?
The bums of comedy?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Who else could we get?
Artie Lang?
Yeah.
All right. You open for me and Artie?
Sure, I'd open, absolutely. I mean, I talked to Dennis Miller. I said, because Dennis, you know, there's a guy with a bulletproof act, and he says he does his old act, you know,
mm-hmm.
which was just a killer joke.
Yeah.
And he opens for O'Reilly. So
right.
I'm like, how on earth does O'Reilly follow you?
Right.
And he says O'Reilly just goes out and ties and wanders around the stage, talk. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
And then if you get, like, the premium thing, you get to meet them.
You get a lot. You pay extra. You get a book,
lot more.
You get like a book sign.
Yeah. So it's $50, but then it's $200 if you want to meet them. It's a huge difference. But then a guy was telling me because you know I've done things. I'm sure you've done things where you just have to stand there and a whole bunch of people come and you take a picture and then they leave. That's what they do. I thought they'd be have a half hour to talk to them and stuff.
No,
just picture, get out.
I
next.
Did a
hurry up.
Yeah, no, it's like
so.
Pete,
I do that
Pete
for
Rose
free. I don't get
that. Yeah, no, I did a show with Dennis, and it was kind of the same thing. I said, "I'll open for you. I'll do a half hour.
Yeah.
You do a half hour, and then we'll both come out together and do like a Q&A."
That's
he
a
said,
great idea.
You do 28 minutes, and I'll do 28 minutes. And I was like, "All right." I didn't know what the difference between a half hour and 28 minutes was, but I said, "Fine."
He said 28 minutes?
He literally got it that tight. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if he was just rubbing a little stink on me or he was really keeping it to 28, but either way, I said, screw it. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket and save. Save up for that first-class ticket. How about that? Go to geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes and see just how much money you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com.
Now, how was you kind of did I guess you got the idea from O'Reilly and Miller, but you did the Dennis Prager thing, right?
Yeah, I did.
How did that work out?
Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager and I just kind of go out together and do sort of an evening with,
at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I do the comedy part. Me and Drew used to do it.
So it's like Dr. Drew and you.
All over the country, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You did live performances, you and Dr. Drew?
Every college campus that you've ever even heard of.
I didn't know that.
Oh, when we were on MTV,
so you would take
3,000 people every time, and we just go out there and do it every time. And
so instead of sexual questions, it would be political questions.
Or anything.
With Dennis Prager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real smart Jew.
Yeah, yeah. So he would answer, and you would just sit there, and boom, you'd throw in the jokes.
Yeah, but I can get a little philosophy in every once in a while.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
No, you're smarter than everybody.
Not everyone. Not than you, Norm.
No, believe me. I'm just pretend.
No, you are smarter. I live smarter, but you're smarter.
I don't think I'm smarter. I listen to you.
Okay.
I tell people, I go, this guy has an opinion on everything. When I did stand up, I said that was my goal, to have an opinion on every single, or a comedic take, I should say, on every single thing. Then I would go out in the audience, I always thought, and I would just talk to the audience, and everything they said, I would have something to say about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have quite a bit of, you know, I haven't done like 10 million specials, so I have many, many hours of material. So I have a lot, but I don't think I have as much as you. Like when I heard you were doing stand-up, I saw you at Largo a long time ago. I think you were just starting.
Mm-hmm.
But you were kind of trying to act like a comedian, you know what I mean? And I'm sure now you're way better. But I always thought, why doesn't he just talk to the audience? And anybody that brings up anything, Adam would be able to riff on
that. I think what I did at Largo, I did Doug.
I know you were just starting because you told me.
I did Doug Benson's show.
What, the smoking weed thing?
No, that was something else. Pretty soon, Doug's next show is going to be, you come over and wash Doug's car. That's going to be his next YouTube show.
The funny thing about that Doug Benson show, I didn't realize.
The Benson Interruption, I think.
He had the show, he had the movie.
Super High Me, right.
So and he had the show, the television show the computer show where he smokes weed with the people. So I assumed that he would be very good at holding his weed. Then I see the show, he's like a fucking glassy-eyed and like the worst advertisement for weed ever. I thought, this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like just ha 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 and they're saying unfunny things and it just, you know.
Yeah, you should.
He's kind of got a lazy eye too, which doesn't help.
Yeah, you'd think.
Great guy. Though.
Keep
nice
going.
Fellow.
Yeah.
Nice fellow.
Good people.
Nice guy.
He's got the 50-year-old who eats Count Chocula.
Robert Smigel told me.
Passing judgment.
That Regis Philbin, he came up with him or Dana, one of the two came up with the Regis impression. And they said that the key to the Regis impression was Regis would be playing to a morning show audience, a bunch of old ladies. So his shtick would be getting angry, you know? But then he would have to tell the audience that he wasn't really angry because he was afraid they'd take him seriously. So he'd go like, anyways, Bernadette Peters is in the back room and I have my donut with sprinkles. And I always eat my donut with sprinkles and I come in and it's gone. And they said, Bernadette Peters ate your donut with sprinkles. Anyway, she's a wonderful lady and she's on Broadway. And we...
Speaking of
trail off of
wonderful compliment. And shows, Doug Benson and me are actually going to be. He's going to come out to a live podcast.
Oh, he's a great guy.
That will
he's
be
a,
at the he's
a really nice guy.
Theater. That's a live podcast, October 8th, October 7th, Foxwoods Casino with the DFG, the Deaf Frat Guy.
Oh, really?
He'll come out and say
at
hi.
At Foxwoods?
At Foxwoods.
Yeah, he can get there, I guess.
Anaheim and live shows everywhere.
He lives in a place that celebrities live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he lived just in, you know, I think he's rich.
I think maybe it's his father-in-law.
Doesn't he dress like a guy that had money? You know what I mean? If you grew up with money, you dress differently.
Yeah, but that's an old thing. Now, Mark Cuban wears flip-flops, and poor guys...
Well, no, that's true.
...have fake jewelry. All right, and Norm's got a book.
Who do you think won that debate, by the way?
I think Hillary won out of... She was...
She looked a little warm.
Trump was sort of all over the road. I think Trump probably scored in the, okay, I guess he's not an insane person department, but Hillary seemed to be on point. I
loved at the end. He's almost like a child because he said, like, that's not nice. Like, nice is so weird a word. Because that's not nice. And I have something to say.
Normie,
and then you could tell he was thinking he might say
he might. Well, you and I you know what I felt like? And hold on with this show ending for a second, but just 1 second.
Yeah.
You and I think, both have been guilty of this, and it's happened before.
By the way, this is going to sound retarded, but I don't even know if Donald Trump would be a bad president.
I don't either, but I do know this. We don't like to rehearse that much.
No.
Okay.
No?
And we feel... like we can go out there and get it done without the repetition.
Oh, absolutely.
And we all know there's nothing worse than the mock trial or the mock debate or the, you put mock in front of it, or the repetition or whatever, the rehearsal. It always sucks. So you and I feel like we got enough in the tank that we can go out there, take the microphone, and keep things going for 90 minutes.
Well, Trump would think that too.
That's what Trump thinks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Now the problem is, Trump is not Norm MacDonald. Trump, and the reality is Norm MacDonald pulls it off 8 out of 10 times, but there's probably those 2 times where you wish where the fat guy went on after you or before you, where you kind of wish maybe you had worked it out a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've had that experience myself. I feel like Trump, now, Hillary feels like the Wes Welker of politicians. Like, I am slow. Yeah. I am short.
Yeah.
I have no vertical. And what I need to do is run these routes over and over and over again and become the best possession receiver. So she's probably spent the last month doing mock debates, every scenario, having an answer ready for every possible question and scenario. Whereas Trump went, me. I'll get up on my feet. It'll start flowing.
If I rehearse too much, it'll look rote.
And I don't feel like rehearsing. Exactly. So I'll just go over there. I'll eat some Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I'll just go up there and I'll wing it. And during the debate,
he'll wing it.
It kind of, with the chicken reference, it kind of did feel like, all right, Trump, nobody wants teleprompter and stilted and everything, but a couple of dry runs probably would have helped the cause.
Did you notice that it's a debate with two people on the same stage, and the whole thing is split screen? Why would you think that is?
Yeah, that's weird. They didn't pull it back.
I figured it out.
Because of the whole corn syrup, cane sugar thing?
Height.
Ah.
They made her the same height as...
Interesting.
So that's unfair.
Not even a conspiracy theory.
I mean, they have two people on the same stage, and it's an odd split screen. And the audience certainly seemed partisan. I never hear Hillary Clinton getting laughs and Donald Trump getting none.
Well, he got a little rouse at the beginning. But other than that, and it was weird because he was at the end of the thing, he was going to yell, "Your husband's a rapist."
Yes.
But he stifled himself.
Oh, man. He was like, I guess I'll wait for the second
one. Wait for the second one.
Because if his numbers drop, watch out.
It's coming. Based on a true story memoir, Pulitzer Prize nominated. No, that works. Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco coming up October 7th through the 9th. And then
I apologize, South Point Casino. I know this is on television, so I apologize.
In Las Vegas as well. All right, let me tell you about the Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger against engine viscosity, a breakdown of the then in the leading full synthetic oils, Castrol Edge. Unlock your true performance in your car's engine, Castrol Edge. Me, live shows everywhere, and we got a cruise coming up, and it's all the good stuff. Just go to adamcarolla.com, and you can find out everything until next time.
The bums of comedy.
The bums of comedy. Adam teaches Norm how to drive. It's all good. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Norm MacDonald saying mahalo.
Follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Man Gree events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.
All right, everybody, that was episode 1913 of the Adam Carolla Show. Coming up on Monday, for the last installment of Best Of, I'll be presenting the Adam Carolla Show, episode 563, featuring Mike Schmidt, Larry Miller, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop, for May 10th, 2011. Until then, mahalo and get it on.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.